you've seen in your lifetime. Hello, everybody, and
go.
Damn you, Alan. Damn you, I come back with this fancy show, and already we've screwed up, you know? That's the problem, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, when, of course, you don't do something for a while. Basically, this is not Like I Am Bicycle. This, of course, is Dr. Keith Presents. And I am, of course, Dr. Keith Lipinski. Thank you so much for joining us. And now I turn it over to the host of the show, the one and only Mr. Alan Cunahan.
Oh, with a mouthful of water. Not expecting to be turned over.
And you will keep that on. You will not do any editing to this whatsoever, Alan.
Oh, I already decided that. Trust me.
Fantastic. So that's the way it should be in the shit can radio. Uh-oh. Watch out, TNA. But yes, I am here, and I haven't been here for a while, Alan.
No,
I really appreciate what you've done with this show, though.
Why, thank you. I've enjoyed doing it. I've been able to piss people off by using TI music on the show. It's been all I've wanted in my life.
As long as it doesn't lead to some sort of rap war, you are fine. So let's think about
it. I'd be up for a rap war. I've got Rob Naylor in my back pocket. He's like the rap war historian. He knows.
Rob Naylor basically is sort of like a pit bull because, you know, I've seen pit bulls about the size of Naylor. So it works out
No. They're bigger now since he lost like 30 pounds in his neck.
I hear the boy has become anorexic. I'm a little worried. I think we need to sit there and get some money together to buy Rob Naylor a delicious sandwich of some sort, you know.
Yeah.
Perhaps one with queso, cheese, or jamón, which is, of course, the Spanish word for ham. But
the kings of wrestling training regime is doing good things for Rob Naylor.
It's doing good things about him for right now, but as soon as he hits like the 90-pound mark, we really need to have an audio intervention where he'll basically mention Wimpy's and we'll laugh accordingly. But
I know it's pointed out to me all the time, and I always say it's it'll happen as soon as it happens. But just think about it. We really haven't had Rob on the show in a long time.
Right, it's a problem because Rob Naylor's stock, he's very much in demand, where people want to sit there. Members of Rancid want to talk to him about the Horsemen. He's a man in charge. Well, not as large, and in charge now. And he just, I was about to call you Adam for a second because I was just thinking about you being on
the Adam and Alan Big Audio Dream.
Well, featuring Joe Gagné as a photographer, yes.
Featuring a very tired-sounding Joe Gagné.
Parenthood would do that to you.
I was the one taping at 1 a.m. after a long, long football match against 13-year-old kids, and I was sounding significantly more perky than Joe.
Well, it's different, because Parenthood really can remove your soul. I don't know if you know about this, but, you know, Ultimate Warrior, when he had his first kid, that whole Papa Shango thing was around that same time, and it wasn't, of course, Papa Shango and his voodoo mystery, which, of course, scared Alan to, you know, oh, are you kidding? Little Warriors, what do you think he was talking about? He wasn't talking about the fans, he was talking about his children. You know?
Oh, shit, that's such a mindfuck. Ultimate Warrior with children. I'm just picturing him in the delivery room, snarling and hissing and, like, doing the gorilla press motions and, like, nurses and stuff.
I just picture clothesline, run off, blow up, then that's it. So, you know,
clotheslining, like, all the nurses and everything, like, running from one side of the ward to the other and then, like, just doing this diving shoulder tackle. To nobody through a window and like just running on into the distance.
I honestly, personally, would love to have Ultimate Warrior be my father because I think he would teach me a lot about destructicity, but more importantly, I think he would teach me how to have charisma as, of course, a father performer.
I thought you were going to say how to have an ass.
Oh, I would think he would teach me how to have a tremendous, tremendous ass. So, you know, I'm glad that Alan and I can come back and entertain the people that are listening to Dr. Keith Presents.
It's like you never left.
About, it really, it feels like the freshness has been sealed since, of course, I gave my swan song to the show about a year ago due to, of course, the birth of my young son, Gavin, who probably, too, also wishes the Ultimate Warrior was his father.
Gavin Ultimate Warrior Lipinski.
Oh, that would have been great. Well, I mean, I still think, you know, there was talk about having some sort of wrestling-themed name, and Handsome Lipinski definitely came to mind. So, you know, Handsome Tron, of course, because Tron is the best middle name possible. Alan Tron Cunahan, think about that.
Shingo Takagi Cunahan is already marked up.
Shingo's a fantastic name for a boy or a girl. So think about that for a second.
Well, I think it'll be Ayako Hamada Cunahan for a girl.
Wow,
actually, no. Ayako would be, if I had my way, Ayako would be a very possible name for a young daughter. I think that's a lovely name.
I would think that after what we've seen lately in Dragon Gate, you should keep it as Shingo. So, and just watch out for your
hair. He may end up to be a bastard, though. I don't know if I want that.
What do you mean, bastard? He's all, well, you know, the drinking will do that to you. The road sometimes will, as a matter of fact, own you, young Alan.
Like Shingo recently, he's not been a very pleasant individual, like with the standing on people and the shaving of heads and the making people sit up straight.
He could just be going through a phase right now, Alan. We don't know what's going on in Shingo's personal life. I mean, he could have some bad stuff going on. I don't know. I mean, it seems, though, he has become, you know, a little bit more like the Shingo of old, at least with the hair and mustache combo, where he doesn't necessarily have the no mustache, nothing at all, where he's just a fresh face with a leather jacket looking like a Japanese version of the popular Happy Days character Fonzie.
Just like Kensuke Sasaki circa whatever year he wore the leather jacket. I always really like that because what I don't like is the operative word, but I think that's the first time I've ever said operative in my life. But anyway, I don't know if like is the right word because he wore the leather jacket, but his like wrestling attire was like your standard Ricky Choshu small black tights, no knee pads, short little boots. So he was like, looked like a guy wearing no clothes but a leather jacket strutting down to the ring.
And you think I would appreciate that, especially with his hair at the time, but the hair at that point wasn't to the level that it was during, of course, that IWGP tag team title run that he had back in the day with Senator Hase. So, like,
yeah, it was like
had
he had in like 2000, like he had like the real like good kind of mullet, slicked back mullet hair. Like it was a good hair. It was just a pretty funny hairstyle. But I mean, in like the mid 90s, you would like zigzag shaved into that and kind of like weird kind of mohawk type things sticking out, all these random random shit going on with his hair, almost as eyesore-y as his gear at the time, which would be like neon green and yellow bicycle shorts or something.
Which, you know, that sounds really, really hot, but, I mean, now, but back in those days, I guess it was just too innovative to be thought of as sexy.
And Tenzan as well. Tenzan had some weird-ass gear back then.
Is Tenzan still with us?
He was trying to make it back for the G1, but it's not to be. He may be the most broken-down wrestler in the world.
Yeah, I'm thinking
he
of all
just he should just retire. Maybe
or work on ECW reunion show.
Maybe if he wants to come back and do like a retirement match with like Kojima or something, but I wouldn't be able to enjoy that because I'd be like afraid that he'd die during the match. But yeah, he absolutely doesn't need to start a full-time schedule again.
You remember when they did the unification match between him and Kojima? How long did that match go? Like, didn't that match
that was,
go?
That was before my time, Keith. That was when I was just. That was when young Alan was just downloading his first PPHs. Kind of discovering all about what this Puro Resu was all about, but not really seeing very much of it. Just listening to PPH, watching a few episodes of the Noah show on the Wrestling Channel, and occasionally catching the New Japan show. It wasn't until couple of months later that I started downloading stuff off the internet.
It's only a couple months later. You know, you kids had it fucking easy. That's all I'll say about you. Anyone that's listening right now that doesn't know the joy and pain of waiting for a floppy VHS cassette to come from a different country to come to your local Tokyo video store and actually try and sit there and find out the good ones, and sometimes mixing up and finding a tape full of Golf. You know, those are the people that know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, the thing is, there was two or three video stores in Chicago where I would go regularly to get Japanese tapes. And the sad thing is, they were in the sports section, and usually I could sit there and tell from the writing on it, like, okay, this is definitely New Japan, this is Noah, and then in some cases, like, ooh, All Japan, like, every once in a while they get an All Japan tape. And I thought one time I was getting an All Japan women's tape, and it turned out to be Golf. And it was like 4 hours of Golf, and I ended up watching possibly about 45 minutes of it, thinking, okay, the women's wrestling is going to happen any second from now. But no, Golf. Fucking Golf. A boring, shit-ass
sport. Maybe, what's her name? The Cokehead.
Which one? It could be any of them.
The one with the hair in WWF. She wrestled Lunder Blaze. Bull Nakano was playing. That's where she's a golfer now.
Maybe it could have been Kintsuki Suzuki's ugly ass wife as well. All we know. And honestly, now I wish I still had VHS tapes so I could actually find out if this was some sort of All Japan Women's golf tournament of some sort. And I'm sure it wasn't like it could have been any of these women groups that existed during that time frame. So I'm saying is golf on regular TV is something, but golf when you're expecting women's wrestling is very sad.
My wrestling tape buying experience didn't last very long. It was a couple of months of purchasing ECW videotapes back when I discovered ECW. And I didn't know how to, like, buy them officially, so I was, like, finding websites where I could get really shitty dubbed versions of them sent to me. And I remember my first order from one place was, like, I decided to very a true rookie mistake. I didn't feel out the seller, maybe order one tape, see that the service is good. No, my first order, I ordered like 15 tapes and never got them. And it really turned me off tape trading. I got some tapes again a couple times later, but my heart wasn't into it. And then we got into like 2004, 2005 and the dawn of the internet and place like Ring of Honor where I could buy my DVDs and all that good stuff. So.
Well, and thankfully now with torrent sites and everything else, you don't even need to pay for pro wrestling. It's all, of course, those groups, of course, you know.
Plug, check out the Dr. Keith Percent show on the torrent site near you.
Well, that's the thing. Every once in a while, I would actually find an episode of my show up on the torrent sites, and the first thing that came to me was, really? And then I would see the number of like people that actually downloaded the show, and I would be like, "Really? I was blown away by it.
Big or small?
It was actually quite enormous.
Oh wow!
You know, I'm not saying it would be to the level of some of the stuff you see on Pro Wrestling Torrents, but I mean, I'd just be like, "Wow, that's actually a lot of people are listening to this show." You know, I guess a lot of people
are we getting
free
more?
Time.
Are we getting more or less downloads than the Stacy Carter and Sin Carnival Freak, whatever his name is, shoot interview?
Oh, I would hope we'd be on the same. I would think that we're basically talking to the same people that ordered that on the show. So,
I would hope for the complete opposite, quite frankly.
I would actually, for those people that are actually listening right now that have just watched that, just picture me and Alan in a big bed together.
What I was going to say. I saw a clip of Dirt lying in bed. I was like, what the fuck?
That's really what you want to see, basically, is, you know, like, you know, just any wrestler in bed is just never, you know, like, it's never that great.
I have done this show from bed many a time. I take the Excalibur while sitting on my bed.
What were you wearing? No, why are we going there? There's no reason for that. We're trying to have a professional show, which, of course, when you think of Dr. Keith Lipinski, is the first thing you think of. So, yeah. But, We are not in bed. We are men. We are manly men. And we have for you, of course, a very good show this week here at Dr. Keith Presents. We will be speaking with one of Alan's favorite wrestlers, Timothy Donst, later on in the program. Alan, I know you're a huge, huge fan of Mr. Donst's work. So big of a fan, you requested not to be on the air.
Just shut up, you fucking arsehole.
Now, I bring this up because a lot of times my successor here, Alan, gets accused of loving everything and being happy-go-lucky and doing one of the most positive.
Like you, half the Chikara locker room are going to be listening to this.
You basically are
listening to this. Keith is full of bullshit. I think you're a swell guy.
That's not what he told me when we were off the air, and I told him that was the best part of the interview too. So that's a sad thing. It's when you get the best part of the aftermath stuff. You know, like I got to hear an awesome Rip Rogers story as well. So it was one of those cases where life was quite good. But Alan usually, of course, one of the most. I mean, basically, when you think about it, Alan, you are the positively page of the internet wrestling community. And so when you don't like someone. You know, obviously he's doing his job as a heel quite nicely.
Absolutely. 100%.
Now you're just kissing ass right now. So. this is sad. Like, we are exposing the walls here on Dr. Keith Presents. Rod Naylor, only 3 foot tall. Alan doesn't love everybody. What's going
to
be the next thing that we're going
to
find out?
Myself,
I really didn't have a kid. I just don't like doing the show.
Yeah, okay. So here's the deal. Tim Donst is fine. I can absolutely understand people saying he's doing a really good job at the moment, and a lot of people are really enjoying his stuff at the moment, and that's great. He's just not exactly my cup of tea as far as promos or wrestling, but that's not to say he's bad. It's just to say he's not my cup of tea.
He's
and
different.
The reason I didn't want to do the interview is because I'm generally very complimentary of them and suck up to them and all that kind of stuff. It's just naturally how I interview people. And I didn't want to... I wouldn't feel comfortable kind of interviewing a guy, like being like, hey, everybody, here's Tim Donst. Tim, you've been awesome in Chikara this year. I've loved your stuff. Now, let's get to the questions. I couldn't do that, so I was like, Keith, you could take this one.
Faker. You can't fake it, Alan, you know? Boy, the show has been really great since I left. See, look at that. That was me faking right there.
I also wasn't going to do what I think is our friend, not the Supersonic, but Supersonic on the board, what his seemingly like wet dream of an interview is, which is just like... Brian calling out the guest on everything they do badly. Like, I love whatever it is. Brian puts up a thing for questions for a guest, and Supersonic's like, his requested questions are, why did the match you have with this guy suck so much? How did you manage to have a bad guy with this guy? Why are your bad match with this guy? Why are your promos so bad? And all this. So I was like, who's gonna ask those questions? No interview's ever going to be like that. And I don't think me going, so Tim, I think your promos are really forced. They come off very fake to me. Explain yourself, son.
Oh, my goodness.
But,
wow.
But I'm going to listen to the interview.
As you should.
He seems like, I remember seeing, I saw like a YouTube video of something he was doing. He seems like a really funny guy. Like I'd say I'd really like him as an non-wrestling character. Like, he seems like, as a person, as a dude, he seems like a pretty cool dude, and I'm looking forward to listening to it, but just as a wrestler at the moment, not my cup of tea. And I'm not even just being overly like trying to be politically correct. Like, if I thought someone sucks, I'll say they suck. Like, I'm not gonna say he sucks, because people like him, people think he's good, so it'd be stupid. I have nothing to hate more than the funniest one at the moment is, oh, Naomichi Marufuji sucks, he's the worst wrestler in the world. And it's like, no, you just don't like him. And it's like, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that do, and so therefore it's hard to say he sucks. It's just, you don't like him.
Okay.
Although there are people in the wrestling world who I think we can all agree suck ass.
So if, let's say, TNA contacts you, Alan, and says, we have Rob Terry who wants to do an interview with you, would you sit there and take the interview?
Well, Keith, to answer this question, I must say that the only Rob Terry I have seen, or pretty much 90% of the Rob Terry I've seen, occurred last night, and it was me watching Rob Terry via Crazy Paul London watching Rob Terry, as I watched on Paul London's new YouTube video account. He had a clip of him watching the Orlando Jordan Rob Terry pouring mayonnaise on himself skit. And I saw Rob Terry and I was like, whoa, that guy's pretty big, all right.
There you go.
So, I can't give an educated opinion on him. But I can give an educated opinion on Paul London's little one-minute videos that are now up on YouTube. They are awesome. I believe I posted a link in the forum a couple hours ago. It's on the Bearskin Rug, I believe it's called, the YouTube profile, and it's hilarious.
And everyone should definitely check that out, because Paul London, he's a character that Paul London is.
Yes, he is.
So, but speaking of characters, let's preview for people that are possibly going to see a fine wrestling show this weekend, because I think this is a big weekend for pro wrestling, because, of course, it is the one-year anniversary of the DGUSA promotion. This might be one of the biggest weekends on the American independent scene since the last time we said that there was a big weekend in the American independent scene. No, we have without a doubt the one-year anniversary show of DGUSA. We have the latest installment of the Evolve series of shows.
Best card, yes.
Yes, and then, of course, Sunday at the old ECW Arena, which is going to be the biggest Chikara show to date.
DGUSA is before Chikara?
Yeah. DGUSA is on Saturday, and Chikara is a Sunday matinee show. So,
well, I'll be damned.
And it's going to be huge. And people should know that, because if Alan doesn't know it, that means none of you listening right now knows it. So, you know, this is going to be just, I mean, we're talking about so much talent in 3 nights, and it's going to be great. Of course, Dragon Gate USA, ECW Arena, first anniversary celebration, and of course, they're doing in the first main event a pay-per-view dark match, if you will, Bryan Danielson versus Shingo. Of course, this is a match that Alan is already geeking out for and hasn't even started.
But I'm finding it hard to get overly excited for it, because I know it's going to be forever before I see it, because has to wait for the pay-per-view to air, and then you have to wait for the DVD to come out after the pay-per-view, because it won't be on the pay-per-view. So it's like, we'll be what, like 2 months or something before the pay-per-view? It shows up on pay-per-view, and then it'll be another month to 6 weeks after that, before Lucky, before the DVD comes out. So it's like, it's so far. One of the things that really keeps me from getting overly excited about when I see matches signed for DGUSA, because it's like, I know I'm not going to be seeing them for ages, whereas it's different from when I see a match signed for like a show in Japan, and it's like, okay, this is happening in 2 weeks, and I'll probably see it in 2 weeks and 3 days. Awesome. And it's like when Hulk, Shingo, Hair vs. Hair, and Yoshino Yamato are signed, it's like, brilliant, Dragon Gate pay-per-view that's happening in Japan, and I'll see it like 2 days after it happens, which is really no one's fault. It's just the way it is, and it's maybe the internet pay-per-views will be the way of changing that. Because I saw that ROH has their upcoming New York show is an internet pay-per-view, and I was instantly like, oh, cool, awesome. I'll be able to see a New York show live as it happens. So when they sign matches for that, I'm going to be like, sweet, can't wait to see Grizzly Redwood against Andy Ridge or whatever, whatever they sign. I'll just be really looking forward to it, because I'll know I'll be seeing it when it happens, or just shortly after it happens. As I'm getting fucking messages that are annoying me. Is this you, Keith? Oh, goddamn you!
That is me. That's all.
That's okay. So we'll move back on to the DGUSA. Shingo against Bryan Danielson, in spite of everything I just said there, it is going to be awesome. And it's for those going, if I was going to be there live, you better believe I'd be looking forward to it. So if you're one of the lucky few who will be attending, you are in for a treat, because I can't think of a better a better match right now that you could possibly put together.
It is a hot, hot, hot looking match. So it's definitely, I think you're talking about a guy, Bryan Danielson, who we all know can go, that's looked, you know, very good on his independence tour so far. I don't think he's been tested as much as he's going to be tested this weekend, of course. And, of course, the main event here, facing Shingo, who really has, you know, ever since that hair match, I mean, obviously this guy is the ace of Dragon Gate and had seen one of the best in America, definitely one of Japan's top three. This is going to be a match that I think people will be remembering, and people will be sitting there and just craving that DVD release when it comes out to see this match. But also on the card, of course, the elimination match. Finally, it's going to be settled with the Chikara group of Yoshino and Quackenbush, Jigsaw and Hollow Wicked versus Kamikaze USA of Yamato, Tozawa, who Alan is a huge fan of, Gran Akuma, and John Moxley.
I'm a bigger fan of Tozawa Kengai, though, than Akira Tozawa. For anyone who's seen the Dragon Gate pay-per-view will know what I mean by that. But, Keith, I got a question for you. This elimination match, give me a prediction. How long does this match go?
It will go approximately 2 hours and 15 minutes.
No, really, really.
I would say this is going to at least go 37:20.
I'm predicting 48:40. I think this could be a long one. I didn't, when I saw this as made elimination, and there's not that many matches on the pay-per-view, because the Shingo Danielson match isn't on the pay-per-view, and Hulk Mochizuki's not going to be, they're not going to be having much more than a 20-minute match with each other. So, yeah, I think this could be a long match. I don't think Keith realizes that's happening right now. But anyway, I'm sure you can all hear that in the background. But I think that match could be pretty long, and I think that could be good. I normally, like, when I hear about matches going really long, it's not something I'm overly enthralled by. But in elimination format, eight guys.
Elimination's a little bit different, though.
Yeah.
When it happens elimination style, it could be awfully magical, especially with some of the
magical
things.
Do you realize that you just, in your switching of phones, engaged us in some magical hold-like music?
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Quite delightful.
It wasn't any TI, was it?
No, unfortunately, no. No TI. We'll save him for later. I think you can go like 15 minutes before there's even one elimination. It's just guys coming in and out. It'll be awesome. And then you start to have the eliminations and the dynamic changes and the match changes. It doesn't matter if it's going. It's like when, the Chikara Cibernetico, like when they go like an hour and a half, it's like you don't really notice because the dynamic of the match keeps changing along the way. Whereas,
you don't have a batting order to worry about as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm not a big fan of that batting order shit.
That's because you're Irish.
They do, true. Oh, I have vast experience in the game of rounders, Keith. I'll have you know. But the Chikara, they make that thing work. Like they on paper, it's something I'd hate, but I do. I'm not a fan of it, but they kind of make the best out of it. I love the participants in this. I think there's loads of great possibilities for how this will go. I'm looking forward to. I'm assuming. I think Yoshino or. I think Yamato probably is the sole survivor. Or maybe Moxley. Gosh, I really don't.
Yeah, they get the Survivor Series matchup of some sort. So.
Yeah, I really don't know who's gonna win and get the opportunity to be the Souls Reviver and cut a promo with Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan at the end of the show.
And we know the winner there is going to be Tio Santana, and more importantly, the big winner is going to be the fans.
At the Elite 30s.
It could be anyone be that Soul Survivor. I'm really looking forward to this elimination match. Yoshino being a part of the Chikara team makes sense because, of course, he is the Open the Dream Gate champion, beat Yamato at the last show. So I'm really looking forward to seeing those guys together. And this should be a fantastic match. And I think if anything, the first show, as good as the Dragon Gate matches were, I think they brought something to the table. With the Chikara Pro guys, and so they're looking to definitely steal the show once again.
Can't believe that was a year ago that they started that angle with Yamato kicking Quack in the balls. It seems like so recently.
And simple. It didn't have to be that much. All it has to do sometimes, Alan, is hit someone in the nutsack. That's all that's needed in pro wrestling.
Absolutely. So next on that show, we have BB Hulk against Masahi Mochizuki for the Open the Freedom Gate title. These two guys have great chemistry with each other. I think this is very high potential for me to be BB's best Open a Freedom Gate match so far.
Even though he's a different person now than he was the last time, right?
Yeah, Teramesu Ishihara.
The fact that he doesn't have his hair and he doesn't dance anymore. Will he bring his ball dancing antics to Philadelphia this weekend? I'm very curious to see that.
He's being recruited by our friend Jinsei Shinzaki, aka Hakushi, to come to Michinoku Pro and refine himself. So maybe he'll show up in the arena dressed like Hakushi. That would be something.
And if he feuds with a stroke-ridden Bret Hart in those matches in this day and age. But I think this makes
all in one night.
Oh, I think, if anything, Mochi is definitely one of the guys in Dragon Gate. When it comes to an all-round solid guy that you want to have in a match, he's definitely one of the top guys.
He brings
something
different to the table.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, his stuff is so solid. And when you see when Dragon Gate usually has these bigger matches with, you know, champions and such, he's always involved because they know that he could possibly put on a good performance. And I think this is going to be another one of his. Also, Naruki Doi, he has an open contract, supposed to be facing Dragon Kid. That's not happening now.
Eric Cannon.
Brody Lee.
Eric Cannon.
It would be great if it would be Eric Cannon or Brody Lee. The only thing is Brody Lee, if he would do the big boot, he'd have to bring it down a little bit more, you know. Shima, of course, is going to be there, and he's going to be handpicking an opponent for a singles match. It could be our boy, Scrunchy Johnny Gargano, who has his DGUSA contract. It could be Charles Taylor, for all we know, Drake Youngerson. He could actually want to face both Cheech and Cloudy, and Cloudy's awesome hair could be on the line. But I think this is going to be
send me a link to whatever you're telling me about Cheech and Cloudy before the show, because I didn't see anything about that. It just popped into my head there.
Okay, we'll do.
Anyway, continue.
We'll do. Hey, and you want me to also tell you Chikara's big surprise?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, I can do that. Just make sure we're not recording during it, because I don't want people to know about Quack and what he's doing. So that's all. All right, but no, this is going to be a great show. And then the next night, the King of Shows, a show that has been in the back ashes of the mind of Mike Quackenbush for a while. Chikarosaurus Rex, the King of Show, a very hot looking little card that we got right here. We got six matches, and all of them seem to offer something for everyone. Of course, the main event, Eddie Kingston and Tommy Dreamer versus the BDK, in this case, Aries and Claudio Castagnoli. The Championes de Parejas are going to be facing the former hardcore icon himself, Tommy Dreamer, tagging up with a guy who, much like many of the ECW fans back in the day that had to find tapes in some place or another, you know, a guy that really followed Tommy Dreamer very closely, Eddie Kingston, and continuing the beef between Kingston and Claudio Castagnoli, which is more than a year old right now, and this time they're going to duke it out in the ECW arena, and more importantly, of course, Tommy Dreamer being inducted into the ECW arena Hardcore Hall of Fame beforehand. So this could be a very special night for Tommy Dreamer's bad knee.
Yeah, hopefully there's no heel ref involved.
We can't promise any of that, Alan. So I'm really, really looking forward to this match, and especially the plunder that can possibly come out of this, because it's Tommy Dreamer, it's the ECW arena. Now he's in TNA. We don't know how often he's going to be able to wrestle at the arena anymore, unless they do more nostalgia shows. So I'm really, really looking forward to this match, but not as much forward as I am looking to two huge Chikara versus Dragon Gate six-man tags. On one of them, Hollow Wicked, Jigsaw, and Lightning Mike Quackenbush against, of course, Yoshino, BB Hulk, and Naruki Doi.
World one, all for one. One for all.
You can tell it's going to be a hot match if it's going to make Alan sing. So that's a sign of what's going to be a fantastic match. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing those teams tussle. And then the other one, Fist, the last year's King of Trios, Charles Taylor, Icarus, and Gran Akuma will be stepping up against Sima, Mochi, and of course a team member to be named later.
I'm hoping for Helios or Jimmy Olsen. I love that.
Just to see Jimmy Olsen's awesome punch.
Are they going to be there that weekend? They're not in the shows.
They're not on the shows, but who knows when Jimmy Equinox Olsen will just show up.
Yeah, no, I think either of those would fit in really well, like throw up a little ooh pose and just will be fit like a glove.
It could be good, but maybe Shima, when he's doing his tryout matches, will find someone, and then maybe Brody Lee will come in and kick their head off. So
maybe
it's a win-win situation. Of course.
Chuck Taylor mixing it up with those guys will be amazing. If you've seen Fist versus Team Osaka Pro from King of Trios, you know how good this match has potential to be.
Oh, yeah. This has all the potential in the world. I think the tags here are super, super, super hot. As much as they had a King of Trios in April, I think we're going to be seeing two more fantastic trio matches here. You're also going to be at another trios match that's going to be there. Drake Younger's son. And the Assyrian Portal, so an Egyptian and a member of the Naptown Dragons, will be teaming up to face, of course, Colin Delaney, Stigma, and Vince Gerard.
I really like the Unstable storyline. I don't even know why I like it so much, but I really like it.
I think it's a good storyline, and I like the fact that what they've done
here. It's kind of cheesy, but it's good.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's easy. It's old school. It's what it should be. I don't have to think too much to it. I could understand they were totally luring those dirty Egyptians into a false sense of, you know, sport and competition, only to ruin it all again. So I think those guys, and Drake Younger, of course, has a history with the Unstable, so it'd be good to see him getting his revenge. And just whenever you see Drake Younger, he's such a nice guy. He's just happy to be here, and just a very good kid, and I think this is going to be another match that's going to be very enjoyable. And speaking of enjoyable, the two fighting females of the BDK, that being, of course, Sarah Del Rey and Daisy Hayes, are finally going to get the competition they've been wanting forever when they face the Amazing Kong and, of course, the woman that is cheerleader Melissa.
I just watched Kong versus Sarah from ROH today. And wow, that was like the best women's match I've ever seen in America. I echo Kuna and Hamada against Sarah Del Rey from Shimmer may have been the best U.S. women's match I've seen, but this was a close second. It was awesome. And Hiro and Claudio in their matching purple basketball tops on the outside was just swell.
Now imagine how hot.
I wonder if Rob Naylor has a matching purple basketball top.
You know he does. And you know what? He probably wears one of the. He probably wears Claudio, and he probably wears it like a little summer dress. So I'm kidding. I love you, Naylor. Peace out. And then, of course, a Chikara only match. We have, of course, the Colony featuring Alan's favorite, the Green Ant, the Fire Ant, the Soldier Ant, and, of course, the 2009 Wrestling Observer Rookie of the Year, Frightmare, to face on the BDK, let's say Dorado, the Perfect Ten, Tim Donst, who will be on the show shortly, Pink Ant, Pinky Sanchez, and the Humongous Tursus. So this is going to be, six matches. This is going to be a fantastic show, and I think the crowd is going to be splendid for it Saturday afternoon, and it's going to be a great day to be a member of the Chikarmy and a great day to be alive, Alan.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be great show, part of a great weekend, and the Chikara show is probably the first one that will show up on DVD, so I'm very stoked for that. I'll probably get to see it soon.
Yeah, I think you will. I know they talked about something, a special DVD release for it, so they're always working on something to please the fans a little bit more, so I'm pumped for the show. I'm pumped for this weekend.
Keith, before we go, just want a quick run down the Evolve card. You got Brian Danielson versus Bobby Fish. That'll be awesome. And Max, I'm really looking forward to Sami Callihan versus Eric Cannon. That will rule.
That should be fun. That should be a lot of fun.
It really should. Tozawa against Drake Younger. If you saw Drake Younger versus Shingo from WXW, you know how good that was. And Tozawa has a lot of similarities to Shingo, trained in the same class. So, yeah, that could be really, really good. What else on that show? Help me out, Keith. I don't know if anything
about it. We got Jimmy Jacobs versus Chuck Taylor.
Chuck Taylor skipping rocks into a lake as preparation.
That's how you cut a promo, son, just skipping rocks. So, let's see. Also, a very interesting match. I'm very surprised this match is signed for the show. You're talking about Brody Lee, the huge monster, the big rig, versus, of course, Jon Moxley. So that,
yeah.
I'm very curious.
That's going to be a great brawl.
They don't really have a lot of huge heavyweight fights, and this is going to be something I think that is going to be very special because of that. Another match that piques my interest is Gargano versus
Adam
Cole.
Yeah, definitely. That'll rule. Who's Kyle O'Reilly wrestling?
Who's what?
Kyle O'Reilly wrestling.
Kyle O'Reilly, I believe, is he? I'm looking over this. I don't see him on the show. Well, I know that Mercedes Martinez has an open contract, so let's just pretend Kyle O'Reilly versus Mercedes Martinez for that. Also, you have a tag team match. It's very interesting. Aerial Form versus Jigsaw and Hollow Wicked. I think this is a surprisingly good card. Not surprisingly good because you wouldn't expect anything less but Evolve. But I think this is a very good card and a very good show, and I'm very curious to see how it plays out on DVD.
It's kind of surprising because it was kind of put together on short notice, and it's been a great card has been put together on short notice. So I'm stoked for it, and hopefully this show will get released for quicker than the last Evolve show. Which, is that even out yet, or is it still pre-ordered?
It's supposed to be out. It's supposed to be out right now. So I don't know why it's not. I'm gonna call and complain right after I'm done with this. So,
awesome.
But that's how I roll. But
anything else you want to discuss, Keith?
The sad thing is there's play I could discuss, but I'm a father and I gotta go hang out with my son for a little bit and teach him how to do high OVW back body drops.
Absolutely, and before we sign off, I just want to give a quick plug. I probably should have mentioned this on the Adam and Mike show since it's the Pro show, but it totally slipped my mind. If you've checked it out in the forum, this is a free show actually, so it's even better. But
free show?
I think that's what you requested, Doctor.
Hey.
I've tried to spread the word on this as much as possible, so I figure if you're listening to this, you've probably seen it mentioned already. But I'm currently running a little donation drive for DDT wrestler Masa Takanashi, who had one of my favorite matches of the year against Daisuke Sekimoto in April. And shortly after that match, he suffered a really, really bad knee injury, has to have major surgery, which he can't really afford because he's like a low-card DDT wrestler. Through the help of a former guest of the show, Michael Nakazawa, we have set up stuff in Japan, fundraising stuff for Takanashi, at the DDT Dropkick Bar and other such establishments. And I just saw that and I was like, it'd be cool if there was something for us, I was going to say American fans, but us international fans to help out. And I got in touch with Nakazawa and we set up a PayPal account. It is ddtmasadonations@gmail.com. PayPal that, whatever you can spare, and it will go to a great cause. It's a really direct way of giving back to the wrestling business, because like you buy DVDs and stuff like that, and that's great, but I mean, like, kind of that goes through, they only get like a certain cut and whatever, and then the wrestlers themselves get an even smaller cut as far as what goes through to them. But this is a direct way of giving back to a wrestler that entertains you that needs help. And when you're donating, please click gift. And I think that PayPal fees confuse me, but as far as I can tell, consensus seems to be that clicking gift is a good thing as far as avoiding as much of those fees as possible.
I think if anything, I think this is a great thing that you and Michael are doing. So I want you to keep up the good work. And more importantly, Alan,
it's Kenny Omega approved, everyone. Just thought I'd throw it out there.
and he's popular with you kids. But yes, I think everyone should definitely donate, because here is someone that's busting his ass for entertainment, and you know he's going through some stuff right now. And this isn't going to be like Wrestler's Rescue, where we're not going to send Alan.
Alan can go to
conventions and such and become the lead event host of the next DGUSA. But
although Gabe, I'm available if you want to fly me in. I'll see that. I'll be happy to see that Shingo Danielson match as a match.
Yeah. You obviously don't know that much about Gabe and flying in. But anyway, folks, we have coming up next an interview with Timothy Daunt. And Alan, I want to say, Alan's favorite wrestler, I want to say it was a pleasure talking to you today, because it definitely
you
was.
Too,
and I will show up every once in a while, but I really appreciate what you've done to my show. You've taken my show from being a horrible joke with a bad repeating punchline to actually a little bit above that status. So well done.
And we hope to have you back on with Rob Naylor at some point and get.
I would love to. I was looking at the calendar and I realized it's September and we haven't even done a year in review yet. So, or at least a half year in review. You know, so I'd be curious. I think we need to have an intervention for Rob. That's all I'll say. You know, I think my grandma will be upset and saying he's getting too skinny. But Alan, I gotta go. I think what we'll do is we'll go into my interview with Tim Daunt, and I definitely want to say thank you everyone for listening. And so long, everybody. Alan, you want to take us out?
Bye, everyone.
I taught you nothing, son.
You clearly didn't hear my outro at Excalibur the other day, which he called the worst outro he's ever heard.
And think he's on the show. He's basically, when you think about it, he is the I was thinking about this for a few weeks ago. He is the reoccurring guest on our show. He basically is the Norm MacDonald of the Dr. Q Presents. So look up that reference, Alan, and I got a bolt. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night. See you later.
Back to Dr. Keith Presents and our very special edition, focusing, of course, the stars of the Chikara Pro Wrestling Company, which, of course, is having probably going to be the biggest show of their existence, the Chikarasaurus Wrest, the King of Show, this Sunday afternoon, July 25th, 2010, at the ECW Arena. This is going to be a huge show, and one of our guests this week, of course, is the current reigning Young Lions Cup champion. He is a man who, over the last year, because of the, you know, joining the BDK and, of course, you know, basically playing a man of many masks and many moods, and he definitely is not one that's beloved in the Chikarmi right now, but has been very entertaining, in my opinion, to watch this year. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Dr. Keith Presents, the one and only Tim Daunt. And, Tim, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well, Dr. Keith. It's been a while.
It's been a very, very, very long time. Last time I think I spoke with you, you were dealing with some sort of trauma that made you a temporary member of the Neo Solar Temple, and doesn't that seem like forever ago?
No, I think it was even prior to that. I think it was back when I was getting the snot kicked out of me by Eddie Kingston.
Oh yeah, that was good times.
Yeah. Look who's going to beat him now, right, Dr. Keith?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, you certainly have changed since that time. I mean, you've gone through a lot in your run of Chikara, and right now...
As far as I got a tear, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, right now, you, of course, are the Young Lions Cup champion, and of course, you're going to have to be relinquishing that cup very, very soon. But I guess my first question to you was, what drove you to, of course, becoming German and becoming a member of the BDK?
Well, I don't know if you saw the particular match, Doc, but I wrestled Claudio Castagnoli in Reading, Pennsylvania. It's one of the bigger matches of my career because it's obviously Claudio Castagnoli. He's one of the best wrestlers in the world and a Chikara regular. And not only did I learn so much from that match, Doc, but I just felt something. I knew I had to change. And Claudio took me aside. He told me what I did wrong, what I did right. And that moment, he started hatching the plan for the BDK.
Wow. And how long ago was this?
It was a long, long time ago.
Oh, Oh, my goodness.
It's now, that's how the BDK works. We don't like to rush anything. We take our time. You know, you gotta preheat the oven before you bake the cookies. You know what I'm saying, Doc?
As someone that loves cookies, I know exactly what you're saying. But at the same time, becoming a member of the BDK, sure, it might have cost you the love of the fans and the Chikarmi, but at the same time, it seems like that you have basically been on a tear so far this year. Of course, winning the Young Lions Cup over Player Dose at the first event this year, Touch of Class, and basically having some, you know, having many successful defenses. What do you think is your secret in order to becoming such a successful Young Lions Cup champion? And more importantly, coming up in August, you're going to have to relinquish the cup. Will you feel sad, and will you feel like a part of your soul will be missing?
Well, I'll tell you what, Doc. I think the secret to me winning all those matches is the double nipple twist that I do in the corner. I don't know if you ever got the chance to see it, but it's not a Texaco favorite. And now that I'm a Rudel, not a part of the BDK, I like using it in my arsenal. But I'm going to be a little heartbroken when I relinquish the cup, but not completely devastated because I'm giving up the cup as opposed to losing to somebody.
That's a very, very good point. Now, I mean, obviously you're a man that watches, you know, wrestling DVDs, videotapes, Super 8s, and everything else.
Yep.
I mean, you have to sit there and say that you've had many good defenses of that title. Which in particular sticks out as your favorite title defense of the Young Lions Cup?
As much as I don't like the guy personally, I think he's a little bit old-fashioned. He doesn't know anything about current music trends or hip-hop or nothing. But I really enjoyed competing against Dasher Hatfield, believe it or not.
I
think if he ever gave up the whole All-American thing and went with Germany a little bit more, like perhaps he could be a key member of the BDK someday. If he works really, really hard and gets a new haircut.
So possibly what you're saying is if he turns away from apple pie and baseball, much like you did,
embraces... Let me be the first one to tell you, Doc. That apple pie doesn't do nothing for wrestling quits, okay? That barbecues don't do nothing, monster trucks, water slides, theme parks, none of it.
So are you saying that you, Tim Donst, former All-American, have sort of put the apple pie to the side and you're all about the strudel, to put in a rock reference here?
I think everybody knows that the nice, born-next-door All-American cat kids don't get the girls. And the nice All-American kids don't win the wrestling matches. And I proved to that. Look at my record this year. It's been awesome. I've been in the ring with Bryan Danielson. I made a bet as King of Trios. That would have never happened if I was all pro-American, nice guy. Let me shake your hand before and after the match. Let me hold the door for you.
I mean, but at the same time, Tim, do you miss the headgear at all?
Not at all.
Not, oh, man.
The only time I miss it is when I'm hearing the fans heckle me and he's trying to understand the gibberish redneck tones that I hear so much from them. Then I wish I kind of had a cap over my head. But that's about it.
Now, it seems like anything, Chicago's an interesting place because, of course, you have, you know, Rudos and you have Technicos. And, I mean, there's certain people that will always get booed. Like Icarus will always seem to get booed no matter what side of the fence he's on. But at the same time, you lately, and especially this year, I mean, I can't tell you a match that I've seen of yours where, you know, you're about to take your shirt off to reveal, you know, hours of the gym and on the amateur match. And the fans are just not happy. They want you to put a shirt on, for Christ's sakes.
Well, luckily for you, Dr. Keith, I have super high self-confidence, or I would almost be insulted by that comment.
I'm
in phenomenal shape. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm benching 305.
305?
Most of our fans are way more than 305. Mm. All right? So that's doing pretty good.
I didn't even think about that. I mean, how many fans, Chikara fans, do you think you could put up for the bench press? 305 would be maybe. I mean, how many fans are you thinking?
Well, it depends. I mean, you have the living in the parents' basement ones, and you have the super skinny emo ones. Mm. So it kind of depends which ones you mix.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, which one of those fans do you perform? Do you enjoy performing from in front of the least? Is it the larger fan or is it the skinny internet fan?
Whichever fan chants "No, you're not." When I yell, "I'm the man at the club," that's the fan I hate the most.
Oh,
it's that guy. Whoever you are, stop saying that, because you all know I'm obviously the man.
I mean, if you yell it, it obviously has to be the truth. I mean, is there times, I mean, I recently watched your match with Bryan Danielson from the Smart Mark video release of the huge show that was had in the lovely state of Ohio. And it seemed like at times this crowd was not the nicest crowd in the world, especially towards you.
Yeah, they said something about him kicking my head in.
Yeah.
Luckily, that didn't happen, obviously, because if I remember correctly, he didn't get one movement on me, offensive-wise. But at least he tried, right?
Oh, he did get that cattle mutilation move on him, on you. But, I mean, that's...
Oh, I think that's debatable. I think it depends on the angle he was sitting and the light and everything else.
So you think if there was instant replay in pro wrestling, we would have seen, or perhaps a different angle, we would have seen, you know, victory for the BDK and victory for Tim Donst?
Absolutely.
That's an excellent point right there. I didn't even think about it that way. So what was it like? What was it like being in the ring with Bryan Danielson? And here he was, his second match from coming from the WWE style. I mean, you know, like he's worked the independents in America, and he's done some time in Chikara, but this was a huge weekend for him, and more importantly, a huge weekend for you, because here is the eyes of the independent wrestling world were on, you know, Chikara that weekend, much like they'll be this weekend with the Chikarasaurus Rex. What was it like being in the ring with the quote-unquote best in the world, Bryan Danielson?
He was on the independents before he went to WWE?
He was, yeah, for a little bit.
How long? Because last thing I remember is him being a rookie, right? Was that the whole deal?
He was.
You can't even wrestle like he's the best in the world, like he's been on the independents.
That's a good point. Well, he was tutored by that Miz character.
Yeah, but all the Miz did is expose his lacking of charisma. Mm-hmm. Wrestling is so much more than hold for hold, kick, forearm, submission move, sweet other submission move. It's all about your voice, all about your presence. And I think that without a shadow of a doubt, the greatest Young Lions Cup champion, Tim Donst, demonstrates all those features. What you think for Dr. Keith?
Oh, I think you exemplify many aspects of what is needed in a champion of men, basically, because you realized what your flaws were, and you actually worked on those flaws, and of course, you obviously are successful. I mean, you know, I bet the first glass of Ovaltine, maybe some sort of Gatorades, maybe some sort of Monster Energy drink in that cup tasted sweet, not only because of the delicious sweetness of the nectar, but the fact that you'd finally, you know, prove the naysayers wrong and, of course, became the Young Lions Cup champion.
Yeah, I think the first flaw, you know, it took a long time to improve, but thank God I did it, was getting rid of that little green machine Hydra. You remember that little guy? You followed me around everywhere. Made some noises, ran around during intermission.
So you don't miss Hydra or feel any remorse about, you know? Might have been the greatest answer in the all-time history of Dr. Keith Presents right there. So you don't feel, I mean, because he was so beloved by the fans. I mean, you and him made a pretty good unit as the Sea Donsters, but, you know, obviously obviously everything has gone according to plan for him, but I mean, or for you, but at the same time, I wonder if you miss your little green sea monster friend, your friend, one half of the Sea Donsters, for Christ's sakes.
Hydra never contributed to our team. He didn't contribute with the name Sea Donsters. Do you really think anybody could come up with as witty of a pun name other than me? I obviously came up with that name. I obviously got all the wins. The only thing he contributed to our team was losses and laughs.
And, you know, I mean, obviously.
And if the fans miss him so much, I'm pretty sure you could visit them at your local gas station. I'm sure he's working.
You don't think he's working for BP and somewhere in the sea somewhere, covered in oil?
Oh, I do. I do. I believe he's working on cars somewhere, you know?
Oh, my goodness. I can't.
Trying to gain back some of that muscle, you know?
Oh, well, ever since the, you know, Chikaris and the, you know, performance enhancements and the suspension there. But we don't need to talk about the darker days of the Hydra. We're here to talk about the good days of Tim Dodson.
Are you sure?
Well, I mean, we
talk about them all day.
I know you could. That's the thing. I mean, you had quite the run with him. And more importantly, though, I think of, you know, the fact that you, I mean, people will sit there and say, you know, Tim Donst hasn't done this, Tim Donst hasn't done that. You fooled the diabolical Ultramantis Black, a good friend of mine, on two occasions by first, you know, infiltrating the Neo Solar Temple and then infiltrating again as someone from the future.
That's right. And I even saw more merch than them, too.
Well, and you even stole more. You said sold, not stole, right? Because, I mean, obviously we want, you know, yeah, I don't want to condone stealing on this show. But selling, I definitely, capitalism, I'm all about. All right.
Did you hang up on me?
No. We're still recording, of course. We're showing.
I thought maybe you were tired again. You know what I'm saying?
I gotcha. Yes, it's again. This is my first interview in a while, so my visual and audio cues might be sort of off. So I apologize for that. So
you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for improving our show this week. That's the most important thing. So you fooled.
Yeah.
I mean, when you were originally under the hood. And when you were by Ultramantis.
I don't know what that means, Dr. Keith.
Oh, when you were under the mask, when you were the masked man from the future.
Sure.
I had no KKK type things. But anyway, when you were under the mask and by Ultramantis' side, were you just, you know, shriveling in excitement over the fact that you would get another one up on this guy?
I could not wait. To get another one-up. I felt like I was freaking playing Super Mario, so excited to get a one-up, you know?
Oh, that's a big, huge mushroom.
Well, it's a few gold stars and coins, and that's a lot of points.
And pretty soon you're in a raccoon suit or some sort of frog suit. It's a good, good, good time. But, you know.
Sometimes a light suit, you know?
Oh, yeah. The light suit is very, very cool. I mean, it's a really, we could talk all day about Super Mario and the wonderful suits he has. But, you know, we, of course, are speaking with Tim Dodson, the current Young Lions Cup champion, of course.
And the greatest.
What's up?
And the greatest.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think. Let's talk about the history of the Young Lions Cup. You know, I remember a few months ago when, of course, they had this secret lair where it seemed like all the technicos were hanging out and, you know, having a good time. And it was a sort of a Young Lions secret society. And, of course, there was no picture of Tim Donst held up there, you know. There was no sort of special society. I mean, I would think, do the Rudos have some sort of special society for former Young Lions Cup champions where maybe Max Boyer is?
Well, first off, Dr. Keith, if I may correct you, during that interview that you're talking about,
we didn't
go around the entire room, you know. You don't know if there's a montage of me on the other wall, you know. It very well could have been.
That's a good point.
And secondly, the reason I wasn't invited to have a Lock Club and the Rudos don't have one is because it's a former Young Lions Cup society, and I'm the current Young Lions Cup. I'm the greatest Young Lions Cup champion of all time.
That's true. I mean, a lot of great names have had Hollow Wicked, of course, Jigsaw, Shane Storm, who of course now Stigma, and Eric Cannon. What have you done though to basically top those guys' accomplishments as Young Lions Cup champion and basically be a level above them when it comes to, you know, when I think of the Young Lions Cup, I think of, you know, Chuck Taylor's run with the top, with the cup. And I think of Eric Cannon's run and even the late, great Larry Sweeney. But, I mean, Tim Donce, what have you done to basically put yourself on the top, the number one answer on the family feud that is the Young Lions Cup?
I think, without a shadow of a doubt, you look at the interviews I cut this year, you look at the kinds of matches I put on, whether it was against Hydra, Dasher Hatfield, Soldier Ant, Player Uno, Player Ghost, all those guys. Without a shadow of a doubt, I've proved myself time and time again to be the greatest Young Lions Cup champion of all time because of those facts, because I'm not lacking charisma, I'm not lacking wrestling ability, I have it all. And I think people are starting to realize that, and that's awesome, that's great. To be quite honest with you, I don't care if they realize it, because I know it. The BDK does too.
As long as you and the BDK know it, that's good. Of course, you know, the BDK had something because for the first few months of this year, they were on top of the wrestling world with, you know, one victory at another. And did everything turn out for them at, of course, the Three Fisted Tales finale show last year when, of course, the BDK was revealed. When it was revealed, it was Ares and, of course, the huge Grecian god, Tursus. Once they were revealed and the members of the BDK were revealed, was it possibly the greatest night in Chikara history or its darkest day?
I would say a little bit of both. I'd say it was the greatest day because it made so many people's darkest day, you know? It was really surreal being in that ring and being in that environment because people had no idea what was going on. People were scared. They were terrified. They had Mike Quackenbush laid out. They had Ultramantis Black. They even had Chikara's and Lauda knocked out. Nobody knew what to do. There was no people selling merchandise after the show, taking pictures, because no one could stand it.
It was a big, huge angle and the start of something really special in Chikara this year. And of course, we've seen, I mean, King of Trios, you guys, of course, won it this year. The Campeones de Parejas, of course, being Castagnoli and Aries, you being the Young Lions Cup. I mean, you guys have been enormously successful. There is, though, however, and I try not to be confrontational with my guests because, of course, I'm, of course, privileged to have guests like yourself on this very show. But at the same time, I definitely have to ask, Night 2, Young Lions Cup, main event, of course, The Colony versus yourself, Lince Dorado, and Pink Ant, Pinky Sanchez, and, of course, the first loss of, you know... I mean, I hate to bring it up, but what was going through your mind is, you know, the referee was hitting that mat for the third type, and does a part of you wish that Derek Sabato would have showed up a day earlier?
I don't really believe, Doc, that you hate saying that, because if you did, I don't think you would have brought that up. It's a very touchy subject for me.
I know, but I got to ask the hard questions, though. That's what I'm known for, that and stupid humor.
I hate to admit, on that particular night, in that particular match, in that particular tournament, Tim Donce, the Mac Wrestling Machine, the former All-American icon, the slayer of the other season, the greatest Young Lions Cup champion of all time, what some are saying as the new best in the world, was the weak link. But I was only the weak link that night, Doc. Because if you follow up on your Chikara, follow up on your BDK, you realize that I knocked Soldier out the following time that we locked up.
That is...
He couldn't raise his hand three times.
That is true. You did submit him on the huge anniversary shows, you know, which saw, of course, the first appearance of Tommy Dreamer at a Chikara show, and of course he along with Eddie Kingston in almost a dream partner match, although it's not called a dream partner match, against of course the team of Claudio Castagnoli and Aries this Sunday at the former ECW Arena. Basically, Tommy Dreamer sort of returns home and gets a little nostalgic. I mean, you obviously were a wrestling fan growing up, and, you know, do you have any positive memories of Tommy Dreamer, or has your allegiance to the BDK basically soured you on Mr. Dreamer?
I really enjoyed Tommy Dreamer as a wrestler, as a person, before he decided to team up with Eddie Kingston, because I don't think it's any surprise to you or anybody else listening, I'm not a fan of Eddie Kingston. I don't like him. I'm never going to like him. He took advantage of a 19-year-old kid fresh out of wrestling school and beat the tar out of him. So Tommy Dreamer wants the team with that kind of guy, that kind of dude, then the BDK is going to have something to say about it, and that something is going to be said at the Dragon Gate Chikara show this coming weekend.
And this is a huge, huge show, and of course you will be part of it. And I mean, it's going to be a very intriguing matchup, because it's basically a lot of this show is going to see the stars of Dragon Gate USA facing Chikara teams in some fantastic matches. But definitely one thing that people are going to want to check out is the Atomico, because it is stacked, because you have on one side three creatures that you're very familiar with, the Colony, of course, the Fire Ant, the Soldier Ant, and the Green Ant, and of course Frightmare, the Rookie of the Year for last year, against yourself, Lince Dorado, Pink At, and the humongous Beast of Amantursus. I mean, this is going to be a huge, huge match. Given the fact that this looks like this is going to be the biggest show in Chikara Pro history, is there any pressure for you guys to deliver on this big night? Because, I mean, there's going to be a lot of fans of the Chikarmy there, but at the same time, I think there's going to be a lot of new Chikara fans seeing Chikara action for the first time and seeing the former All-American, now Young Lions Cup holder, Tim Donst.
I think a lot of fans are going to that particular show to check out not only the Chikara regular guys that people come to love and hold with such greatness, but and the new stars too, such as Seema and Dragon Kid, Awesome Kong. But my particular match, I know for a fact that the guys I'm with are some of the very best talent in the world. You got Pinky Sanchez. He's a little bit crazy. He's a little bit nutty. He gets the job done. You got Lince Dorado. The kid always lands on his feet. And you got Tursus. If I'm not mistaken, hasn't even left his feet yet.
No, yeah, it's been amazing, because, I mean, I will watch his match in pure glee and delight, not for only for the fact that he does a nice Bubba slam, but the fact that I've not seen him knocked off at all yet, and it's been one of those things where you just look at him and you're just like, wow, I would think one day this guy's going to leave his feet, but it's just been... it's been amazing. And I think the combination of BDK guys, I think if anything, you know, the BDK has definitely brought out the best in, I think, both yourself, Lince Dorado, who definitely works as a Rudo excellently, and, of course, Pinky Sanchez, who definitely brings some sort of – I mean, you've teamed with him. He brings an intensity to wrestling that I don't think we see a lot.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of teaming up with Pinky against Matt Classic and Sugar Dunkerton, and it's that craziness – it's that sporadic tendencies he has that certainly call for victories. Not that that's going to be too much a factor, because the Colony is going to be too nervous, and too scared to try to attempt anything. And Frightmare, I can tell you right now, Doc, right off the bat, just looking at me in the ring, looking at the guy that embarrassed him in Michigan, he's going to be a little choked up.
You don't think he's still going to have that tie on, do you?
I don't know. Maybe he wants to dress for the occasion, and he'd certainly make the job a whole lot easier for me.
I mean, is there anything with you and Frightmare? Because I know when you started off a few years ago, I know when it came to Rookie of the Year, I know that you were in the upper echelon. But was it something when Frightmare won the Rookie of the Year? Did you feel any sort of jealousy or just sort of a, you know, him coming out of that?
I don't get jealous of other people, Doc. Mm. I simply evaluate myself. At the time, I was a pretty darn good wrestler. I was a pretty good I was a pretty darn good talker. But I certainly wasn't the best. And Flying Man, sure, he may be leaps and bounds ahead of me when I first started out. But if you can take a look at me now, the way I'm so hard on myself, Doc, I evaluate myself and my matches and everything I do. And if I were to rewind the clock and put myself back just a few short years, I'd win Rookie of Forever.
Rookie of Forever. Wow. That's that. If there's any award, I mean, there's Rookie of the Year, but Rookie of Forever, it seems, in the award scale is much higher.
Oh, obviously. I'm sure it comes with a nice plaque, maybe some gold stars, you know, a printed out certificate, one of those plastic trophies. It's awesome.
Oh, that is incredibly great. And much like yourself, you have been a delight to have on Dr. Keith Presents this week. Is there anything that you would like to plug or talk about or speak about a little bit more before I have some final questions for, of course, Tim Donst, who, of course, will be wrestling this weekend in South Philly, Sunday matinee show, the biggest show in Chikara Pro history, and it looks delicious. If this show was a woman, I would possibly make very quick, angry love to it.
Are you sure about that, Doc?
I probably would smooth talk at first, though. But this is going to be a tremendous week. I mean, it's a tremendous week of wrestling if you are in the greater Philadelphia area, with, of course, Dragon Gate the night before, and then, of course, this huge show. So this is going to be a splendid weekend of pro wrestling. And our guest, of course, Tim Donst, will be in the thick of things at the ECW Arena. I mean, who knows what the BDK is going to do next. And, I mean, what do you see your future in Chikara being after, of course, you have to relinquish the Young Lions Cup next month?
That's a good question, Doc. If I were to choose my next move, it would be proven to myself even more that I'm the greatest Young Lions Cup champion of all time.
Hmm.
I don't need the cup to prove to people why I was the best. So I don't care if I take out every former Young Lions Cup champion holder, I take out the first ever Hollow Wicked, I don't care if I compete against New Song, I compete against the Dragon Gate guys, Tommy Dreamer, Awesome Kong, doesn't matter, but I will prove to everybody after I relinquish this cup why I'm the greatest of all time.
You said a lot, Tim Donst, and it's been a pleasure having you on the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show - Dr. Keith Presents this week. Thank you so much for your time. And any final things to say to, of course, our fans and the fans listening in Germany as part of the BDK, or the Americans that are possibly crying into their apple pie right now?
Yeah, Italian fans are such fans of the former Young Lions Cup Society. Yeah, that's cool and all, but guess what, kiddos? There's only one member of the current Young Lions Cup Society, because it's VIP only, and it's Tim Donst.
Thank you very much, and we'll be back right after this, so please stay tuned. Misfits, Philly, this Philly city, long as Tip live and listen. I ain't dead, no, I ain't done, no, I ain't scared, I ain't running, but still I stand.
Till 2027, rather see me in a cell instead of this new McLaren. Gotta take you through hell just to get you to heaven. So even though it's heavy, the load I will carry, grin and still bear it, win and still share it. Apologies to the fans, I hope you can understand it. Life can change your directions, even when you ain't planning.
too that still know how to do. I show you how to do what you do, you ain't got a clue. All you do is follow through, sound like